Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us.
What I would like us to consider this morning is, through the example, through the life, the experience of David, how we also can rise above the circumstances of life. When we think about life and facing life, we know that we never know what's going to happen in our life, the unexpected, the uncertainties of life. When we think about facing the hardship and the difficulties of life, the uncertainties of life, let me ask you, how well are you doing? The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. And again, is that true of you? Are you in facing life more than a conqueror? Jesus said in John 10, I am come that you might have life. Now, we come to Christ and we receive life, we receive eternal life, but the gift of God does not end there. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So that when we think about eternal life, it's not only a quantity, it's not only eternal life, everlasting life, but it is also to be a quality of life. A life that we live down here on this earth. And how well are we doing in this abundant life? I think it's sad to say that for many of us that we have settled to live below or beneath our privilege as Christian people. That we don't know what it is to live a victorious life, to have this abundant life. I think too often we allow ourselves to become victims of the circumstances of life. They control us, and they cause us to respond in ways that we should not respond as Christian people. The Christian life is meant to be lived on a very higher plane. And it's a very sad thing for us to claim to be Christian people and then respond no differently to life than the non-Christian. The non-Christian is going through life on their own. They have to face life on their own, the problems, the difficulties of life. But as a Christian, it's not so of us, that we have a great Savior who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So let's look at our verse. It's Psalm 16. It's verse 8. It's a psalm of David. And here is something that David resolved to do. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I'll not be shaken. I shall not waver. I'll not stumble. I'll not fall. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Father, we thank you for your good grace in our life. We thank you, Father, for your blessing, your presence here. And Father, we thank you that not only have you given us eternal life, but you've also given us abundant life, that we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us to help us. We have a Savior. We have God who is enthroned in heaven. And we are here to exemplify to a world what it means to be a Christian and to rise above the circumstances of life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalm of David is uncertain as to the historical setting, the historical context. We know in many of the Psalms, the history is given. And behind the writing of some of these Psalms, But not so with Psalm 16. In fact, the majority place Psalm 16 somewhere between when David was anointed king by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 to the death of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 30. For 8 years, Saul pursued the life of David relentlessly, the scripture tells us. You remember how Samuel had come into the house of Jesse to anoint a new king. God had turned his back upon Saul and they anointed David as king in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Chapter 17, you remember David defeats Goliath and the people have fallen in love with David. And the favor of the people had turned away from Saul and had found its rest in King David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 7, there was a nice little slogan going on among the people, a little chant that said, Saul had killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. And it infuriated Saul that not only had God turned his back on him, but the people also. He began then relentlessly to seek and pursue the life of David. Beginning in 1 Samuel 19, David, in fear of his life from King Saul, fled home, and Saul sent messengers to the house of David and said, anytime David steps out of his house, you kill him. And relentlessly, time after time, and for 8 long years, David had to live in caves and dens in the wilderness, fleeing for his life. And at some point, he wrote this psalm, and David, although he suffered many trouble in his life, some of it by his own cause, his own hand, others, he says he was innocent in all of this. And David shows us in his life and his example what it is to set the Lord always before him. Now, I think too often we just try to manage through life. We try to get by. We try to do the best that we can. And we do no better in facing life than the non-Christian. So this morning we want to look at this this psalm and to see how David had set the Lord always before him, put him in plain view. He is at his right hand, that is a place of protector, of defender. It's like the little kid who's been bullied at school, and he comes to school one day with his big brother, and the bully does not bother him. That's who Christ, he stands at our right hand, and who is going to trouble and bother us with this mighty man of valor at our right hand? I shall not be moved. This psalm, verse 10, is quoted by Peter and by in Acts 2 and by the Apostle Paul in the city of Antioch with his preaching in Acts chapter 13. And it's one of those messianic psalms. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being a messianic psalm, it shows us how the Lord Jesus also lived his life. That when you think about facing the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of the devil, and how did he pass the test? It was this: he always set the Lord before him in his humanity, in his earthly life. When he set his face to Jerusalem, to the cross, you remember in the garden how he prayed, if there would be any other way, let this cup pass from me. And there was no other way. And how did the Lord ever face the cross and submit himself to the agony and the torture of the cross? It is this: he has always set the Lord before him. Now, the first thing we want to consider is an examination. David said in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set. Now, here's where we have to ask ourselves, is this true of me? Is this my practice? Is this my habit? Is this what I normally do every day? Is I set the Lord always before me? Now, none of us know what the future holds. None of us know what's going to happen to us. And that's why it's so essential that we, like David, every day set the Lord before us. Put the Lord, his power, his sovereignty, his person, his grace, his love, put it all before you, in front of you. It is a matter of determining that instead of looking at the circumstances of life, instead of the things that I have to face in life, I am going to rather set the Lord before me. I am going to put the Lord in full view. And I'm going to concentrate on the person of the Lord, on Yahweh, upon God Almighty, and not the circumstances of life. You remember, this was the downfall of Peter in Matthew chapter 14. The Lord had spent the day working among the people, and he sent his 12 disciples out on a boat onto the Sea of Galilee. Jesus went up into a high mountain to pray, and as the scripture says, in the fourth watch of the night, right before the break of dawn, Jesus came down the mountain and began to walk on the water on the Sea of Galilee. A storm began to brew, and the disciples at first were frightened. They think, this is a ghost. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it is I. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to walk and step out on the water. And Jesus invited Peter to come and to step on the water. And Peter stepped out. But we all know what happened to Peter. He began to look around him. He took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. He looked at the circumstances. He looked at the wind and the waves. He looked at the impossibility of what he was doing, and he began to sink. You see, here's where we have to examine ourselves. Is this the very thing that I do? Is this my practice? Is this my habit? Do I daily set the Lord before me? It's the examination that we have to look at. If we want to live life with a sense of peace and assurance and confidence, unafraid, undeterred, then we have to always, as David has done here, is to set the Lord before his. That's the examination. Now the action. Notice David says, I have set the Lord. It was his determination. It is something that we have to actively do. You know, here's the great paradox in our redemption, that when it comes to justification, it's all a complete work of God. We are dead in trespasses and sins. The call of God comes upon us. We answer the call. It is all done. It is all a work of grace, all a work of God. But then it comes to our sanctification. And there we are appealed to in the New Testament that we are to walk worthy of our calling, of our vocation. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 12, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It is something that we do. I have to do it. We don't wait for some special moving of the Spirit of God. We don't wait for some work of grace. We don't wait until some emotion strikes us or some feeling strikes us. But it is something that we must do ourselves. I have set the Lord before me. It is our action, our determination, our resolve, our determination that we are going to set the Lord always before us. And it is so important that we take this action every day. I have set the Lord always before me, so that we are not overwhelmed or overtaken by life. And then the third thing is an application. I have set the Lord always before me. Now let's think of a number of ways in which we practically do this. The first is that it has to be our priority. That when we wake in the morning, before we think about the duties of the day, what we have to accomplish, before we fill our mind with the things of the day and the obligations of the day, and it so quickly comes in our mind as we wake, that we have to, the first thing that we do in the morning is I resolve, I determine, I am going to set the Lord always before me. Before anything else comes into my mind, all the obligations of the day, the things I have to accomplish, I'm going to set the Lord always before me. And then we think about our position. Who are we in this world? We are none less than a child of God. We are an heir of eternity. We are loved by God. He looks down upon us with love and compassion. That's my position in this life, a child of God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, there the author says the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he says, what should I fear? Whatever man can do to me. You see, if we want to live life the way it's meant to live, to rise above the circumstances of life, it has to be a priority. We do it first thing in the morning before the thoughts crowd in our mind. We put the Lord and his power and his sovereignty before us. We remind ourselves, who are we in this world? I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of eternity, a joint heir with Christ, infinitely loved. God's with me through the day. But then as we begin the day, we have to begin the day in a practice. We have to be in the Word of God. You see, we can't come and face life without being spiritually prepared to meet whatever life is going to come to us that day. So we go to the Word of God and we read the Word of God. And we ask God to give us a verse or a promise to sustain us through the day. We know that God is not ignorant as to what we're going to face. God's never informed as to what happened to us. God knows ahead of time. And so we ask God, in light of the fact that I don't know what I'm going to face today, give me a promise, give me a scripture that will uphold me through the day. We have to be spiritually prepared to face life if we are going to rise above the circumstances of life. We look at the Word of God and we see that when it comes to the saints of old, that there's not one that God has failed, God has let down, God has disappointed. And we see how God has met the needs of his people throughout the Word of God. And I am no different. I'm in this world, I'm in this life, I have the same challenge and the same needs as these saints of old. And so we see what God has done before. And we know he'll do it in regard to ourselves. But then we also have to start the day not only in the Word of God, but in prayer. We have to start our day in communion with God, to ask God for strength and help. That we ask God that whatever is going to work out today, we know it's going to be part of your will for my life. And so we submit ourselves to do the will of God. You know, it's a terrible thing as Christian people that if the only time that we pray is when we're in trouble. You know, what kind of child is it that only goes to their parent when they're in need or in trouble? They need something. They want something. You see, we should be in daily fellowship and daily communion with God. We should never just pray when we need something or when we're in trouble. Prayer is an outgrowth of our Christian fellowship with God, our daily walk with God. And so as we pray, we submit ourselves to the hand of God. And then we have to avoid a problem. David says here, I have set the Lord always before me. You know, I think the problem that we face is this, is that too often when the only time that we seek God, the help of God, is, thank you, Mr. Deacon, when we need something. You see, the problem is we should not just put the Lord before us, remind ourselves of the person of God when we're in trouble, when something we are facing we don't know how to manage. But this David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Put his person in plain view, his power, his sovereignty, always in plain view. How did David ever survive those years as Saul haunted him, taunted him, tried to seek his life? It was this practice. I have always set the Lord before me. That's the application. But then there's a preparation. It's this. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The preparation is this, is that in this life, we are living in the presence of God. We are walking with God as Noah and Enoch did. And one day we are going to be in his presence in heaven. So that our walking with God, our fellowship with God, our setting the Lord always before us, being conscious of his presence here on this earth, is only preparation for the day when the Lord will call me home and I'll stand in his presence in heaven. It is a wonderful preparation. You remember of Enoch, that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You see, there's going to come a day when God's going to say, you know, you've had enough time on this earth of its sorrow and its care. It's time that you come home. You see, that's the great benefit, the great privilege of this Christian life, is not only to know Christ as our Savior, but to know him as our shepherd and our guide, and to be in personal communion and daily fellowship with our Savior. That's the preparation, that here on this earth, we're in his presence. One day, we'll be in heaven before our God and our Savior. Then the last thing is this great consolation. Can you think of anything more comforting? Can you think of anything that gives you more assurance in facing life and the problems of life than to know that the Lord is at your right hand? It's a place in a position of a defender, a protector. He's at my right hand, always in view, always watching, always there, so that as we live in this world with its sorrow and its pain, its disappointments, its heartache, here's the great consolation, that the Lord is at my right hand, and we're not doing this all alone. You remember in the upper room in John 16, Jesus said to his disciples in verse 32, the hour is coming, yea, has already come, and you will be scattered, and each of you will go to his own, and I'll be alone. But I am not alone, for the Father is with me. You see the consolation in the Christian life. Now let me say this. You will never know this benefit, this wonderful experience of always setting the Lord before you, if you don't know Christ as Savior. You see, we can't experience the benefits of the Christian life without being a Christian. Do you know this experience? Do you know what it is to be in fellowship with God, to be in daily communion with God? and to know his presence in your life, so that no matter what you face in life, no matter what you go through in life, you can say with such confidence and such boldness, I'll not be moved. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace and your comfort. Father, we thank you for this wonderful verse, this experience of David, who himself did not live a perfect life, but he knew what it was to have God next to him, to get him through trouble and trial, to get him through the toils of the day. And Father, we thank you that we have a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, who knows all about us, what we're going through, the things that we need in life. Help us, Father, that instead of looking at our circumstances, instead of looking at our problems, instead of looking at ourselves and our weaknesses and our limitations, that we would rather look upon God Almighty and to know that he will never fail us. Not one promise of God will ever drop to the ground. We thank you, Father, for your love and your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.